Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to provide you with an update as to what's going on in Argentina. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Argentina has one of the highest inflation rates in the world. And remarkably, inflation has gone up again. So in today's video, we'll have a look at what's going on with inflation. We'll have a look at what's happening to interest rates, because they're also off the scale. We'll look at what's happening with the Argentine peso, because the peso value has been absolutely crashing and has continued to crash, and there is a high level of dollarization going on in Argentina right now. People are losing confidence in the peso, have been doing for quite a long time, and everybody is moving towards using the dollar. So we'll look at what's happening with the black market rate, because that is entirely different to the official exchange rate against the US dollar. We'll look at what's going on with regards to the IMF, because they've just given another $5 billion to Argentina. So we'll go through their report and establish exactly why they're happy to give that additional funding to Argentina, what they see in terms of developments towards getting the economy back on track. We'll have a look at what's been going on with the Argentine stock market, because that's been going up almost as fast as the rate of inflation. I'll then share with you some good news from Argentina with regards to what's happening with lithium deposits. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in Argentina over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. And for everybody who's a regular viewer, you'll be glad to hear that there are plenty of graphs and charts in today's video. But I'll also share with you some really fantastic footage of Argentina. So there should be a nice balance, something for everybody. And if you are a fan of the channel, don't forget that I'll be hosting the first ever live stream event on Wednesday the 3rd. Now, this first event will be exclusively for Joe Blogs patrons and members. So if you haven't signed up yet and you'd like to join in, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find a link to my Patreon page or the YouTube membership scheme. This chart shows the movement in the rate of inflation in Argentina over the course of the last 12 months. So you can see that inflation has been a problem in Argentina for a long time. This time last year, inflation was running at 58%. So that was one of the highest rates in the whole of the world. However, over the course of the last 12 months, we have seen a steady and consistent rise in that rate. And the current rate of inflation for March 2023 is over 104%. So what that means is, compared to this time last year, prices on average have more than doubled in Argentina. Now, we've been talking on the channel for the last 18 months or so about the problems that inflation brings. And most governments around the world at the start of 2022 had inflation as their number one target. That was what the central banks wanted to bring back down. And the main way that most banks have been doing that is by increasing interest rates. And the logic behind increasing interest rates is that it slows down spending, because spending is quite often fueled by borrowing. And if you increase interest rates, obviously it increases the cost of borrowing. It makes people think twice about whether or not they can afford to move house or buy a new car or take a loan to go on holiday, all of those sort of things. And so it calms down spending and therefore reduces demand. And simple economics tells us that when demand falls, that reduces pressure on prices, and quite often we see prices falling as well. And over the course of the last 12 months, we've seen interest rates rising in most countries around the world, and we're now starting to see inflation coming back down. However, as you can see from this chart, we are not seeing inflation going down in Argentina. Far from it. It has been going up every single month. So you might be asking, why hasn't the government of Argentina been taking the same action as we've seen in the USA and in Europe and most other countries around the world? Why haven't they been increasing interest rates? But just before we go on to talk about interest rates, I wanted to share with you some information about where I'm finding all of my articles from, because I get a lot of comments from people saying, where do you find all of this information? And one of my sources, which I've been using for the last 6 months or so, is Ground News. And what's great about Ground News is that they aggregate stories from all around the world. So if you're looking to do some research on a particular topic, you can type in that topic and then you'll find lots of different articles. And just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, this is a search that I did on Argentina. And you can see there's a really interesting article here saying Argentina to pay for Chinese imports in yuan rather than dollars. So if we click into that article, you can see that it lists all the different articles from all around the world on this topic. And what's really useful with the way Ground News presents this information is that firstly, it tells you where it's come from. So this has come from a Chinese publication. It tells you the bias, so whether it's from the left or the right or the centre. And something that is also really useful is that it tells you the level of factuality from that publication. So let's scroll down to this one that says, dollar abandoned, Argentina begins to use yuan for import transactions. If we click into that, it then takes us through to the source article. So what this means is that when I'm hunting around for articles, I can genuinely scour the whole of the world and find articles that weren't even published in English. The Ground News app is available from your App Store and you can check it out for free or alternatively subscribe to get access to all of the premium features. Well, this chart shows you what's been happening with interest rates over the last 12 months. And what this shows is that this time last year, interest rates were running at 40% in Argentina. Now, just to put that into perspective, the current official rate of interest in the USA is 5%. It's 4.5% in Canada, 4.25% in the UK, 3.6% in Australia, and 3.5% in the Eurozone. So a 40% rate of interest is around 10 times all of those rates. And let's not forget that most of us have been complaining about the rapid increase in interest rates and how 4 or 5% is now too expensive for most people in the economy. So 40% is obviously off the scale. But that was the official rate of interest in Argentina before we saw the rapid increase in inflation. Over the course of the last 12 months, the rate of inflation has been increased on numerous occasions and is now officially 81%. And this table gives us a comparison of the rate of interest in the G20, so officially the 20 largest economies in the world. And you can see that Argentina at 81% is completely out of kilter with every single country on this list. The next highest rate is Brazil at 13.75%, followed by Mexico at 11.25%. Then we've got Turkey, which is having its own problems with inflation, which has an official rate of interest of 8.5%, which is actually another story in itself because Turkey's been following this contrarian approach where they've actually started reducing their rates of interest whilst they were experiencing extremely high rates of inflation. South Africa's then 7.75%, and then we come to Russia at 7.5% and India at 6.5%. And if we have a look at this table, which compares the official rate of interest with every country in the world, you can see there is only one country that is beating Argentina, and that's Zimbabwe, where the official rate of interest is 150%. So if we now jump back to our inflation chart, you can start to understand why there are so many problems in Argentina. Because the government and the central bank have been trying to address this inflation. They have been increasing interest rates on a regular basis, and 81% is obviously extremely high. If you've got any sort of debt, if you've got a loan in Argentina and you're having a base price of 81%, that is obviously going to cost you a lot of money. So they are doing everything they can to discourage spending. But unfortunately, the economy has now got so out of control that increasing the rate of interest is no longer having any real impact on inflation. And if we have a look at this chart, it shows the movement in food inflation over the last 12 months. And what this shows is that the price of food has followed a similar trend to general inflation. However, the current rate of food inflation is running at 110%. So the price of food is now increasing at a faster rate than general prices. And this is obviously bad news. As we've discussed before on the channel, the price of food affects everybody. And it disproportionately impacts the poorer members of society because they're spending a much larger part of their budget on food. And generally, those poorer people don't have any savings. So when food is increasing by 110%, that's more than double the price it was this time last year. Unless your income is increasing at a faster rate, it means that you have less cash, and therefore for the poorest members of society, they're now having to decide what they actually spend their money on. They're cutting back on other things to make sure that they're prioritizing food. And in many cases in Argentina, there will be families where they haven't got enough money to buy enough food for all of their family. And I think that really puts the problems into perspective because whilst we're looking at charts and graphs and it's interesting to look at percentages, the real world impact is that we're seeing huge increases in prices in Argentina to the point where some people simply can't afford to buy things. This chart shows the movement in the exchange rate between the US dollar and the Argentine peso over the last 12 months. And what this shows is that this time last year, one US dollar was trading for around 114 Argentine pesos. Today, that same US dollar equates to more than 221 pesos, which means that the peso has almost halved in value over the course of the last year. Now, one of the questions that I'm often asked when we're talking about exchange rates is it better to have a strong currency or a weak currency? And the generally accepted answer to that is that it's better to have a strong currency because it shows the strength of your economy. But fundamentally, it depends on which side of the coin you're looking, whether you're looking at it from an exporter perspective or an importer perspective. So if you're an exporter and you're selling your goods in the international markets, they will often be priced in US dollars because it's easier for overseas countries to understand the value of the dollar rather than having to look at hundreds of different currencies. So if I'm an Argentine exporter and I'm looking to sell something that I've made in the international markets and it's cost me 100 pesos to produce, this time last year, that 100 pesos would equate to roughly around $1. The exchange rate was 114 to $1. So just for rounding purposes, let's call that $1. So I'm selling my product in the international market for $1. That same product today, if it was still costing me 100 pesos to produce, would be selling in the international markets for 50 cents because the value of the Argentine peso has halved. 221 pesos now equate to $1. So if my product has a base price of 100 pesos, I'd be selling it for 50 cents. So in theory, it would become much cheaper for all the overseas countries to buy that product. And so that could potentially increase demand. Now, obviously, the flaw in that theoretical argument is that I've ignored inflation. And if we look at what's happened to inflation, which is now running at 104%, that would mean that my costs should have doubled. So actually, what was costing me 100 pesos to produce this time last year would now be costing me 200 pesos to produce. So actually, the movement in the exchange rate hasn't really benefited me because my base price has gone up because inflation is so high. So the cost of producing the same item today is costing me 200 pesos rather than 100 pesos. So in the international market, I would still be selling it for $1. So the reduction in the value of the peso hasn't really provided me with any net benefit. If we now look at the situation from an importer's point of view, if I'm importing something that has a market price of $1 in the international markets, this time last year, I would have to pay 114 pesos for that $1 item. Today, I would have to pay 221 pesos for the same $1 item. So even though in this example, there is 0% inflation in the cost of that item, it's still costing $1. So there's no movement, there's no inflation built into it. It's actually costing me as an Argentine importer twice as much as it cost me this time last year in Argentine pesos because the peso has devalued so significantly. So the bottom line impact in terms of the devaluation of the peso is that it's making imports significantly more expensive for everybody in Argentina. And that's one of the reasons that's continuing to fuel inflation, because Argentina is importing a lot of goods from the international markets and they are now becoming more expensive. And the more they import, the more it fuels inflation. So it does become a really vicious circle. So the devaluation that we've seen in the Argentine peso over the last 12 months is bad news for the Argentinian economy, but actually the situation is far worse than that. This graph plots the movement in the Argentine peso against the US dollar over the course of the last 4 years, and we're plotting three different things on this chart. The smooth dark red line plots the official rate of exchange between the peso and the US dollar. The orange line plots the black market rate of the peso against the dollar, and the dotted green line shows the percentage gap between the two rates. In most developed economies, the official exchange rate is accepted as being the rate that everybody is happy to transfer their currency into dollars or pounds or yen or euros or whatever it might be. However, in economies where we're seeing high levels of dollarization, i.e. the local people have decided that they no longer have any faith in the home currency and they would rather use US dollars, we see black markets appearing. And very often in these situations, the black market exchange rate is entirely different to the official rate. And what this chart shows is that in the first half of 2019, there was no real difference between the black market rate and the official rate. However, towards the end of that year, we did start to see a minor divergence. In 2020, that divergence got wider. And by the end of 2020, the official rate was trading at somewhere in the region of 90 pesos to $1. However, the black market rate was above 150 pesos. Now, you can see from the movement in the green dotted line that the divergence between the two rates actually fell at the start of 2021. But by the end of the year, the difference was close to 100%, with the official rate being somewhere in the region of 100 pesos to $1 and the black market rate being around 200 pesos. And if we now run through to the end of this chart, so where we are today, the official exchange rate, as we just saw, was around 220 pesos to $1. However, the black market rate is now trading at around 500 pesos to $1. And what this chart is showing is that the official rate of interest that the Central Bank of Argentina is managing doesn't reflect the genuine market position. And pressure is now building on Argentina to devalue the Argentine peso, to basically reset the exchange rate at somewhere closer to 500 to $1 rather than the current rate of around 220. And devaluation of the local currency is something that we've seen on multiple occasions, usually when an economy is close to collapse. It's the last resort. You don't really want to do it because it does reduce the value of all of your people's savings. This chart shows the movement in the Argentinian stock market over the last 12 months. And what this shows is that this time last year, the Merval index was running at around 85,000. Today, it's closer to 305,000. Which represents a year-on-year increase of more than 3.5 times. So obviously, that's fantastic news. If you're an investor in the stock markets in Argentina, you've been making a fortune. Your money has risen 350% over the course of the last 12 months. Which obviously seems a little bit counterintuitive, given all of the information we've just discussed about the Argentine economy and the fact that inflation is so high and it's really struggling and potentially is on the verge of collapse. But one of the reasons that the Argentine stock market is doing so well is that it's seen as being a safe haven. If you leave your money in the bank, it's literally worth less in terms of US dollars on a daily basis. Rather than doing that, a lot of investors in Argentina have been putting their money into the stock market because they're hoping that the stock market will continue to rise in line with inflation. Because one of the benefits of inflation is that it increases prices. So therefore, any companies that are making sales in Argentine pesos will be increasing the volume of those sales because they'll be doubling their prices in line with the movement in inflation. So I thought it'd be interesting to share this chart with you because one of the benefits of high inflation and a runaway economy is generally that the stock exchange will also take on the same characteristics and may start charging ahead. And that's exactly what we've seen from this index. As mentioned at the start of the video, the IMF recently gave an additional $5 billion to Argentina under the loan facilities. And I thought it was worth looking at the recent conclusions that the IMF posted with regards to their recent review of what's happening in the Argentine economy. On April the 1st, the IMF announced that its executive board had completed its fourth review of Argentina, which allowed for an immediate disbursement of $5.4 billion. The report stated that more prudent macroeconomic policies in the second half of 2022 supported a moderation in inflation and improvements in fiscal and external balances, helping to secure end 2022 program targets. However, the economic situation has become more challenging since the beginning of this year in light of the increasingly severe drought and policy setbacks. Given the magnitude of the weather shock, some downward adjustments to reserve accumulation targets are warranted, although a stronger policy package is now necessary to safeguard stability and maintain the anchoring role of the program. Achieving the 2023 primary fiscal deficit target of 1.9% of GDP remains essential to support disinflation and reserve accumulation, alleviate financing pressures, and strengthen debt sustainability. Timely implementation of high-quality measures, particularly improving the targeting of energy subsidies and social assistance, will help offset lower export taxes due to the drought, protect priority infrastructure and social spending, and secure the fiscal targets. Real interest rates should remain sufficiently positive to tackle high inflation and support demand for peso assets. Further rate increases may be warranted in the event of further inflation shocks or intensification of FX pressures. the rate of crawl should continue to support competitiveness, with recent actions to rationalise the FX regime and boost exports also helping to support reserve accumulation. Interventions in the parallel FX market using reserves or short-term external debt instruments should be eschewed. As conditions permit and imbalances are addressed, cash flow management measures, multiple currency practices, and exchange restrictions should also be unwound as they are no substitute for sound macroeconomic policy. Central bank interventions in the secondary bond market should be limited to address financial stability risks. Mobilising support from multilateral and bilateral partners, including finalising technical understandings with remaining Paris Club creditors, is essential to ensure financing commitments are met and strengthen reserve coverage. Given that downside risks have risen further, including the context of a very severe drought, agile policymaking remains indispensable to underpin programme success. As additional macroeconomic policy tightening and further modifications to FX policies may be required to safeguard macroeconomic stability, political support for programme policies remains critical in the period ahead. Now, I think that summary is quite interesting, and if you just read that in isolation without watching the rest of this video, you may actually think that things are going okay in Argentina. There's a number of mentions of the drought, which I think is making things worse. That's something that I covered in a previous video. But the overall flavour of this IMF summary is generally quite positive, whereas when I look at the actual statistics and the data and what's happening, I can't really see that many positives. It's great that the IMF have given $5.4 billion to Argentina, but I can't really see any green shoots that are telling me that things are starting to turn the corner and things are going to get much, much better over the course of the next 3 months. I think it's more likely that they could get worse. In the great environmental push towards reducing the use of fossil fuels and moving towards a more sustainable environment, there has been a huge increase in demand and production of electric vehicles. And those electric vehicles in the main are dependent on lithium-ion batteries. Lithium is the least dense of all of the naturally occurring metals. And if you think back to your old chemistry classes at school, maybe if you're very old, you'll remember the teacher dropping a piece of lithium into water and it reacting, it actually bursting into flames, flying around and then evaporating. Now, unfortunately, because of all of the killjoys in health and safety, kids today aren't allowed to see their teachers actually dropping lithium into a beaker of water. They have to watch it on YouTube. But of course, one of the issues with lithium being so volatile in terms of its reaction in water is that it's quite difficult to find. And there are only a few countries in the world that have commercially viable lithium deposits. The world's top four producers of lithium are Australia, Chile, China, and Argentina. And over the course of the next few years, the demand for lithium is expected to rise dramatically as we all move towards buying electric vehicles. And this could potentially represent a really exciting market from Argentina's perspective. And Argentina has now announced a strong pipeline of lithium projects which are close to coming online, which looks set to unlock a wave of production that could see its output as much as triple in the next 2 years. In Argentina, despite state energy firm YPF starting exploration for lithium in 2022, the sector has been largely driven by private enterprise and regular approvals of new projects as the government has looked to bring in more export dollars through mining, which has been a rare bright spot amid its economic turmoil. It's estimated that Argentina's current production of 40,000 tonnes of lithium carbonate could triple by 2025 to 120,000 tonnes, which would actually take it past China in production terms and closer to Chile, which currently produces around 180,000 tonnes per year. Argentina currently has 6 lithium projects under construction and 15 in advanced exploration or feasibility stages. That situation contrasts sharply with Chile, where the industry is dominated by established players and very few new projects are underway. Bolivia is the third country of South America that makes up what's called the Lithium Triangle, and the government in Bolivia has recently okayed a new project with a Chinese consortium. Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile together sit atop of half of the world's resources of lithium, under otherworldly salt flats in the high-altitude Andean plains. So let's all keep our fingers crossed that things go well in terms of that lithium production, and that it helps Argentina get its economy back on track. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you an update as to what's happening in Argentina. And what we're seeing is that inflation is continuing to get worse. Once you go past 100% inflation, things are extremely bad. And that's the point that Argentina has got to. And as we saw earlier in the video, there isn't any option of them increasing interest rates to try to bring it back down like we've seen across the rest of the world over the last 12 months, because interest rates are now running at 81%. That is unbelievably expensive. If you've got a loan in Argentina and your base price is 81%, that's going to be really difficult to afford. So the government doesn't really have any option of racking up interest rates to calm down spending. And one of the reasons that the interest rate increases aren't working is that there's been a decoupling in the economy. People have moved away from using the Argentine peso and are now using the US dollar. And we've seen this situation in multiple other countries. And one of the problems that you have when you get to a high level of dollarization is that it's very difficult to reverse it. It's virtually impossible to persuade all of your people to go back to using their home currency because they're always concerned that inflation will start rising again and it will reduce the value of their savings. Now, if you followed the channel, you'll know that I've posted a number of videos on El Salvador. And El Salvador was one of the first countries in the world to actually announce the US dollar as its base currency. So they've given up on their home currency. They've gone all in on the greenback. And actually, the president also announced relatively recently that Bitcoin was also deemed to be legal tender in El Salvador. But that's a different story for a different day. But coming back to the issue of Argentina, the problem is now starting to become critical. And what we've seen from today's video is that the black market exchange rate for the Argentine peso is now more than double the official rate. And what that's telling us is that the market is saying that the Argentine peso is not valued at the right level. There actually needs to be an official devaluation of the currency to bring it back in line with where the market is. Now, that's going to be a very difficult call for the Argentine Central Bank, because if they do devalue the currency, that will basically reduce the value of everybody's savings that's sitting in Argentine pesos. So what this is doing is giving everybody the heads up in Argentina that a devaluation could be on the horizon. And so it's likely that even more people will move away from the peso into US dollars to protect their own position. So this really does become a vicious circle. It's very, very difficult to break away from it. So what's the solution from Argentina's point of view? Well, as we saw earlier in the video, the IMF recently advanced an additional $5 billion. And unfortunately, Argentina is now desperate for that cash because it's having to buy in lots of exports in the international markets, all of which are being paid for in dollars, and that's running down its dollar reserves. And Argentina could soon get to the point where it simply doesn't have enough cash to be able to pay for all of those imports. And at that point, we could see a collapse similar to what we saw in Sri Lanka, where tankers were turning away from the country because they didn't have the money to be able to pay for the oil. And so there was no oil, and then we had blackouts all across the country. So this is a really serious situation from Argentina's point of view. They need to get their economy back on track. They need to rebuild the confidence in the Argentine peso, but it's very difficult to do that. It's easy to say it. It's much more difficult to actually persuade all of your people that everything's going to be fine and they can go back to normal. So unfortunately, the summary of today's video is that things have got worse in Argentina over the course of the last month or so. And unfortunately, there doesn't really look like there's any end in sight. The IMF has given them some money, but that's really a band-aid solution. It will help them over the course of the next month or so to be able to buy in more exports. But until we see a settling down in terms of inflation and the exchange rate, it's likely that things are going to continue to deteriorate. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. Hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up. Thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And here's something to put a smile on your face.